Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is a Crowd podcast.
You're listening to Fucks Given, the one with Charlie Craggs. Hey, curious fuckers.
Hi.
It's actually a funny one because we've got Charlie literally sitting here, like floating in mid-space, like waiting for us to do like
waiting
this intro.
Waiting for us to finish the intro.
Help me.
Help.
Look, go back in your cage. Like, we'll call you out in a minute. You'll hear from her gorgeousness very shortly. But first of all, a little Florence and Reed update.
Oh yeah, I'm Florence, by the way.
And I'm Reed, like, fuck. We forget about that all the time.
Yeah. Reed, you've been having, like, a really hard time, though, recently.
I've been having a really hard time. This is, like, you know, third lockdown hard time at the moment. But not, like, in... It's in a weird way. I never get... You know, like, some people get drunk and cry, and, like, that's their thing. This is, like, the first time I'm doing this. I'm getting drunk and I'm crying, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on, man? Clearly, I'm not okay.
You're a typical white girl now. You've graduated.
Basic white girl. Wait, I never graduated. I was always this way. What was I before? What's before the basic white girl?
White girl wasted?
Yeah. White girl wasted is, like, teens. Actually, no, that's a fucking lie. I still get white girl wasted hard. Jesus. Anyway, so I've been getting really upset about my breakup and my ex, and not actually. So I had an amazing therapy session yesterday, and I thought it was over my ex. It's not over my ex. It's about what my ex gave to me that I feel I'm lacking and missing, which is why I'm getting upset. Things like comfort, intimacy, distraction. So it's not necessarily, it isn't my ex. I wouldn't want to get back with him. Like, he's a lovely fellow, but he is, we've flown the nest. We're different people now. I am missing all that stuff, the fun distraction, having somebody there, like when I'm hanging out with my family, which we can do now. I had my mum's 60th and it was like the family were back together, which was nice. But then I got drunk and bawled and was like, Mum, I'm going to have to go home.
Well, this is the thing with breakups as well. And no matter how long you have been apart, there are always going to be waves of feelings
that keep
coming back.
The motherfucking
especially
waves.
When your partner has moved on and you haven't.
Yeah, and that's hard, and trying to navigate like parties and like who can go to what, that's tough.
Yeah, when you share friends with your ex.
Yeah. But you know, we're adults now, we're mature. We had a phone conversation and chatted it all out, and it was just fucking great and fucking healthy, and I feel
really
so amazing. Much better about it. Yeah, so much better. And of course therapy. My therapist is just an absolute G and sorted me right out.
Nice one.
Yeah, so good. Anything going on in the spectrum of your life, Florence?
I gave a period blowjob last night.
What's a period blowjob?
Typical.
Like, I think you're mixing up the holes there.
We've literally spoken about this on the podcast before, where you always end up giving a blowjob when you're on your period.
Yeah. All right, I get you there. Yeah, that's fair. I thought, I don't know, I imagined it was like you were sucking off a blood-covered dick.
Oh, God, no.
God, no. It's not barbecue season, please.
It's not barbecue season.
Well, it actually is, you know, over in England.
Yeah. Just, no, I mean, I don't know. My update is that
All right, cool.
Have sex with my boyfriend and it's great.
Cool, nice one. and me like crying in the corner with a broken foot, like I need some cock,
yeah,
but I have no energy to get
I've been like not telling Reed certain things about my relationship because I was like, it's not the right time.
Yeah, I'm in a hard place, man. I'm in a hard place. Thank you for respecting my boundaries. I appreciate that.
Yeah.
And I think everyone, you know, you gotta put your boundaries down. It's important. And then if they're not respected, then you can be like, fuck this, I'm out. Like, yeah. you should have heard me.
So I'm starting to feel really bad that Charlie is just sitting there and listening
Charlie,
to us.
Like,
I want to bring her in.
I know, I feel like you had so many like ammo and jokes like ready to go in there and you were just sitting there what?
I've forgotten all of them now. Thanks a lot, guys. Now I'm going to be really boring.
That was your funny quota done. Like, you're just rubbish for this. The podcast. Imagine. So please, Charlie, introduce yourself. Tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, what you're about.
Sure. Thank you so much for having me, by the way, guys. I'm so excited. Hey. I love you both from Instagram.
Oh, I love you. We love you.
So I am Charlie Craggs, and I'm one of those annoying, you know, like, people, I was going to say, am I a millennial? Is the millennial the right word? I was like, I hope I'm not too old to be a millennial. I think it's Gen Z's the really young one, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm a millennial, yes.
I'm a millennial.
People in their mid-20s are millennial. Like,
not yet, because I thought you had to be born in like the from 2000 to be
maybe,
a millennial.
Yeah, I'm not a millennial.
No. Maybe
oh,
I'm
wait,
not-
what? Oh, I thought it was being red. Okay, wow. Oh,
no,
oh my
no,
God.
No, 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 no.
Have
no,
I just
no.
fucked this up? Yeah.
I thought we're millennials and the next generation is Gen Z. But as I was saying, I was like, I don't want to get like cancelled. You know, you can just get cancelled for anything these days.
Like, yeah, that's very true. No, yeah.
Let me just check. I don't want to offend the millennial community.
Google, you might be on the like the bridge between.
Oh, I'm not on the bridge. No, I know I'm definitely you're comfortably in one. But I forgot which one it was and I didn't want to get in trouble.
Oh, wait, who am I?
Yeah.
Anyway, I forget what I was even talking about. Why did I even talk about millennials?
You were introducing yourself and you were like, I
feel like every millennial is like a hyphen career person, so it's like I'm a this/this/this and I'm like I'm like the all the slashes.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
like basically
slash.
If you got a coin, I've got the skills, like the bills need to be paid, the rent is due, so if you need it all, I'm an author, apparently I have a book, but I hate reading.
Amazing.
Have I ever read my book? Maybe not, who
no,
knows,
but I've never listened to the podcast, you're all right.
Literally, but I'm like, yes, I do like I kind of started in activism, so I have a campaign called Nail Transphobia, which is where all kind of started about 8 years ago.
Amazing. Tell us more about that book. Where did it come from? What inspired you? Also, how did you even write a book? How does that even happen?
I don't know. Well, actually I edited the book because I thought it'd be easier, and it wasn't that easy, because then so basically my book, so it's called To My Trans Sisters, and it's a collection of about 100 letters from trailblazing trans women, and it's kind of like
amazing.
Their stories, and I wrote biographies to go of each woman as a way of like preserving the legacy of our community. But I thought I was really clever. I was like, haha, I'm gonna get even cleverer people to write my book further. But also I thought it'd be an amazing like piece for the community, because it's not just one voice, like especially I was very young when I did it, so like I did think it would be easier, but it was not, because having to stay on top of like 100 women and what they've like, who submitted their letter, who submitted their like who's approved the edits, who has sent their biography, like it's just like that's at least 3 or 4 things per person.
Yeah,
and then there's 100 people, that's like 400. I had to have a spreadsheet, babe.
Jesus.
Like I'm not good at maths. Do you know how I've not used spreadsheets since like ICT GCC? I was like, oh my Lord Jesus. I was like, I had to download it, I didn't even have it on my computer, like it was a whole mess. I wish I actually did just write my own book.
You feel like a banker wanker. You're like, I'm back in the office, like who am I, what is going on?
I'm so proud of you for writing a book, because
I'm so proud.
That is
editing a book,
massive achievement.
Yeah. Didn't write, but I edited it. That's the hardest job, man. Hardest job.
I'm not gonna lie, I'm quite, because I'm like a working class girl, so I never thought in my life that I would have a book. So just been hustling. So like, I do the book, I've got my, I do influencer stuff, I do like public speaking.
Oh my god,
my biggest show off. I don't know if I've even said this, but I'm kind of doing like TV presenting now. I've got my first BBC documentary coming out, which is really exciting.
Yeah!
That is Stacey Julia ran for her money. No, JK, don't. Should we start like a beef? Like, we can get loads of views from this because we'll make it a beef.
Yes, let's make the beef.
What would you like to say to her right now? You know,
Stacey Julia. I'm not going to say anything because I don't want to get you guys cancelled with me. But
we all live in fear.
She was all right, right? What happened? What happened?
Oh yeah. I'm just being mean. Although I will say
we do like her, right?
And it does link to this episode because I'm going to talk about trans dating and stuff. She did a series about like it was called like something like Sex in Shady Places or something like that.
Oh fuck!
And it was mostly all right, but like there was a point where she said she was in Turkey. And it was about like trans women, and she was like standing outside like a, I don't even know what you'd call it, like a place where the trans women were having sex with men, and she'd be like stopping guys before they go and being like asking them really rude questions, like basically saying like, are you gay? Like, are you, that, you know, that's a matter. Do you fuck her up the bum? Like,
fuck and it's like, me, oh my, Stacey.
Like, literally, if you watched the quote, I was really shocked. I can't even remember the exact quote, but I remember being really shocked. Like, she was like,
wow.
Basically just that instant, you know, like what the typical try, and it wasn't that long ago. It was like 2017 maybe or 18, I don't know. And I was like, oh Jesus Christ.
Absolutely. Stacey. She probably regrets. Like it's the same when Louis Theroux did the polyamorous documentary and it was just brutal. Like had so much respect for you, man. Now you're just getting the views.
Yeah.
Oh, I still love you though, Louis. I love you, sorry.
Reed
Please
has
come
a
on the podcast.
Yeah, fucking love him. But you ruined it then. You ruined it. You fucked up. You dumb fucked up.
And also, your Nail It campaign is also really, really cool.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you so much.
Tell us a bit about that. For the listeners that are like, Nail It?
Nail It kind of comes from nail transphobia. So nail transphobia to begin with, that's what I kind of started 8 years ago now, is where I travel around the country with a pop-up nail salon and offer the public free manicures for the chance to have a chat with a trans person so that while people are getting their nails done, they can like ask us questions because I travel around with like a squad of trans, not just I guess non-binary people as well, but just like trans nail techs basically, and they can just ask us questions and or we can just have a chat, but the point is that you're getting to meet a trans person because obviously we're like 1% of the population, so just most people won't have met a trans person, and that's where misconceptions come from, and then like transphobia comes from the misconception, you know. I really do believe that if we all just like met someone from the communities that we have so many opinions about, which are formed by like negative media representation a lot of the time, or our peers or religion even, we'd think very differently about them. Like if you actually sat down and like with the act of nails, which is where then Nail It came from, my nail brand, but like if we're holding hands, like I'm holding your hand while I'm doing your nails, and we're like talking face to face, person to person, like one-on-one, eye to eye, like how can you not feel like my humanity? I implore you to go away and still hate trans people or not be sure about trans people after sitting down like holding hands of a trans person. Like we're not trying to eat your babies, you know, like whatever the no, I'm not gonna say it. I don't want to
that's
get you
such
guys
a beautiful concept, like breaking down thank boundaries you. And
it really
and
is.
Just like talking openly about it, that's beautiful.
We just need to talk more. We just all need to talk more, like all people from all different communities, not like I just think it's just so important just to like go outside of our echo chambers.
Obviously, the reason that why we are all activists is like opening up the conversation about everything that we are passionate about, which is why we're talking to you today about dating whilst being trans, because it's something that no one ever really talks about.
No, give us the juicy details.
I mean, the sad thing is it's not that juicy, but that's what I actually think is important, because when we are talked about and when like dating or having sex with a trans person is talked about, it is so sensationalized like by the media. This has been the wave since like the like 80s, 90s with like Jerry Springer, Maury, you know, like, oh my God, it's a man, that's a man segments, and like, oh, like, you know, like tabloids and like set, like when they'd sell stories about like, you know, like if a politician was found to be having sex or a footballer was having sex with a trans guy, it'd be like, oh, boink, romp with pre-op, swap, it's like all these words that you're like, what the hell? Like it's like it's just like
daily star shit
just,
right there.
Yeah, ooh. Someone just had sex and you're like, because we're trans, like it's like a big deal. And it's like, I actually think the fact that it's quite boring is actually a really good takeaway from this, is that like, yeah, I'm so sick of just everything to do with trans and being so sensationalized, especially with like dating, because it really does like it has an impact on the personal lives of the mm-hmm. of every trans person. Like, dating is really hard yeah. because of this, like, narrative in the media. Now, yeah. like, boys will have sex with me. Of course they will. Like it's like shooting fish in a barrel trying to have sex. But, like, when it comes to dating and going beyond that, because of all the sensationalized kind of stories in the newspapers and sexualized stories, especially about trans women, it's never about trans women. It's always about trans women for some reason. Yeah. But it means mm-hmm. that, like, now it's really hard to find someone who would actually want to date you. Even you could be the most pretty, most funny, most nicest, best cook, best blowjobs, you know, like, you could be the best girl ever, but people aren't gonna want like, I'd say, like, it's really depressing, not gonna be depressing, but maybe like 80-90% of guys just would not, even if they'd sleep with you, they wouldn't mm-hmm. take it any further because they don't want to have to tell their friends and their family that they're dating a trans girl. They just don't, like, they, that's not yeah. it's just, and it's because of the taboo that it's that's been created by this kind of sensationalized media scape. It's crazy. Yeah.
I actually saw something on Impact's Instagram the other day about Nikita Dragon and, like, some YouTuber yeah. putting on his like private Instagram just yeah. some really nasty comments about her going home with someone
after an
event. Yeah. And it's just, and, like, why is this still happening?
And also, why does it fucking matter to you? Who the fuck, like, who, like, this person knows she's trans. They're yeah. going home with her knowing she's trans. What the fuck has it got to do with you? Like, clearly you are pressed. Clearly you want to go home with her. Because why do you care? Like, why do you care who is going home with who? And it's yeah. the fact as well in these conversations, and this is why it is the way it is for me and literally every other trans woman dating, is because when we're talked about, it's not like, oh, that's a trans woman. It's that's a man. You know, mm-hmm. like, I don't, like, even if you were to be mean and be like, oh, that's a trans woman, that's rude. But, like, saying that's a man is not only rude, but it's actually factually incorrect as well. I'm yeah, not a man. Yeah. Like, whether you
it's
like it or not, my passport says mm-hmm. F, period. Like, it's not an opinion. It's a fact. My body's chemistry right now is female. I've been on hormones for years. I have boobs. Yeah. I have hips. I have long hair. It's just not factually correct to be, I'm treated by the woman as a girl, so, like, it makes no sense to be like, that's a man. But that is kind of why the taboo, because why, like, boys know that's how they're going to be treated by their friends or by people just in the street if they mm-hmm. do go home with a trans girl, or not go home with a trans girl, but date a trans girl publicly, you know, like,
yeah.
And it really does translate into our everyday lives with, like, literally, I've never had this happen to me, but being on dates and, like, my friends being like, the guy told me to, like, walk three steps ahead, like, literally, you are, like, my. Men are so ashamed to, like, Jesus. Like trans women. It's so taboo. It's so shady.
And yet it's still so, so big. It's still so sexualized and fetishized. And there are a lot of men out there that are really into it, or that actually wouldn't mind, but yeah. society is telling them and pushing them. I mean, how do we change it? Do we hit it at schools? Do we, like, how do we change the world?
Definitely. I think it does need to be kind of normalized in schools or humanized, even yeah. where, like, we're just like, trans women are women. Like, it's, you can, like I said, it's not a thing of saying, like, I don't know how to say, but, like, you just call us trans women, just don't call us men. I don't understand. Like, even mm-hmm. like, even if you don't like us, we're not men, we're trans women. Even, like, it would be like calling, like, a bisexual person gay, and it's like, no, if they sleep with women, they're bisexual. Like, whether you yeah. like it, whether you believe in bisexuality or not, like, they aren't just gay. Like, I'm not just a man. Yes, I might have been born male, but I am trans. I'm a trans person. I've transitioned. I'm legally female. It's not even like, so I'm just, that's my whole thing. Mm-hmm. And I think that is the kind of root of it. And then yeah. beyond that, I think, like, the dream is we would have, like, kind of like, I don't know how to say, like, someone really, like, big and cool and respected in the public eye to date a trans girl publicly or trans yeah. woman publicly, and just to normalize it. Because if guys see them doing that, and if they saw that they weren't treated by the media the way that men were treated, like, in the 90s and the early 2000s for it, I think it would have an impact on guys feeling comfortable enough to do it themselves.
Definitely.
Which is so silly, but
it's really annoying how our culture is like that. But when we see celebrities doing things, yeah. it normalizes
it, does
it for everyone else. So they're like, oh, well, so-and-so's doing this, so mm-hmm. it's a normal thing. Mm. Which is, you know, it's problematic, obviously, but I guess it's good that we have people in our world that people do see and look up to, and it helps them then understand things and then break things down in their own minds.
We've got a long fucking way to go.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what? And this is really emotional for me, and I don't want to cry, but I really do think that, like, the thing that needs to be done is you guys need to find me a Premiership footballer today, and then I need a footballer. Let me be a wag. Let me be the first trans wag, the twag. I want to be a twag.
Let's manifest this right here, right now. I'm sending you all the footballers.
If you're listening to this, send this to Premiership footballers, guys. If you're listening, please tag them. I need to be a wag.
Find Charlie a footballer.
It's not for me. Hashtag. It's for my community. It's activism. It's activism if I do it. It's not for me. It's not for the money. It's not for the good dick. Yeah. It is just for being an activist. I'm doing this for the girls that come after me.
Yeah, taking one for the team. You know?
Taking one from all the team. I want to be the whore of the wags.
one from every team, please.
Literally, just like, yeah, I would be that girl.
Do you have a footballer that you really fancy?
In mind.
Mm. I've got, well, do you know what? Just because he is fucking incredible, that Marcus Rashford, you know, the one that's like doing everything political now, like the school dinners for kids and reading.
Yeah.
Like,
oh my
he's
God.
Just incredible. Mm. Like he, I have, great beyond person. Like fancying him, I just have so much respect for him. Like everything. He's fucking incredible. Like absolutely.
Yeah, he's making waves. And that's what footballers should be like. I don't know what, basically, right. He deserves all the sucks and fucks, all of them.
Oh, absolutely. I would give them all. Hi, Marcus, if you're listening.
Yeah, Marcus, if you're listening, or if anyone knows Marcus who's listening.
Yeah, we'll double team. I'll go in on that. I'll take one for the team too. Oh, so, you know.
Reece trying to get in on this.
Hashtag activism. Actually, do you know what's funny though? Like, I don't know who it is, but there's apparently a Premiership footballer who does like trans girls and was on Grindr, because I've got a friend and she won't tell me who it is, so she's clearly not a very good friend because she knows I take him. But apparently he was on like Grindr and stuff, and like he's not, and she read about it in her book, and my friend Juno, and he will never come out because and it's not something to come out about, because it's not like a loose come out. Bitch, like I said, we have F on our passports. It's like, what are you going to say? Oh, I like female. Good for, like, oh, just make, it makes no sense to me. But anyway, but my point is that it's testament to the fact that, like, you know, as far as we've come with, like, so much changing for trans representation in the media, that we're still a million years behind when it comes to kind of that side of things, I think.
Do you think it's better in the UK, or do you think it's worse than other countries?
Oh, God. It's like a weird thing, because like in America, for example, like it's really bad for like trans murders, like especially trans black women.
Yeah.
South America is even worse for trans murders, and obviously that's Latin women. But here is not so bad for murders. There'll be like maybe like a couple a year, one a year, two a year, which is one or two too many. But it's more the like everyday transphobia. It's like I don't go a day in my life about someone being mean to me in the street, calling me a man, you know, or just being misgendered, like even if it's not in a mean way, like that. Mm-hmm. There's that as well. But the thing we have here that in America is not a thing is the TERFs in the media, is the feminists who just hate trans women so much, and it's such a big thing in the media here. And my friends in America just are like, what the fuck is going on? Because it just wasn't like this when I transitioned 7-8 years ago. This wasn't a thing. Like the people who hated trans women were blokey guys. Like the people who would call me a man in the street would be like football hooligans. And now it's like women, like the most shit I get will be off women, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, what has shifted? Like, what have I done to
what
hurt
has
your
changed?
Feelings? Yeah, it's very weird.
I also think, like, obviously with JK Rowling and really like high profile people coming out on Twitter and like saying like the most absurd things, it makes other people feel like it's okay to say things.
Yeah.
And that is what is so fucked up. And we, like, you know, we were all like massive Harry Potter fans throughout our whole lives, and then this happened, and it's just like, who are you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and why did we all like look up to you so much?
It's really
and now
sad.
You're saying all this of this fucked up shit.
It's just really dangerous, because the difference between the football like blokey guys and the women in the media who are writing about us literally every single day is that like is just that, like, that the men in the street are big yobs and they'd scare you and you'd be scared for your mm-hmm. physical safety, but the women in the media are, and not even just women, but it is mostly women, but they are so clever and they're middle class and they have good jobs and they have good educations and they have good social standing and good contacts.
Yeah, people respect
and
them.
That is mm-hmm. so much more dangerous than a punch. That is so yeah. much more dangerous than a yobbish guy calling me a tranny, asking me if I'm a boy or a girl and laughing mm-hmm. with his mates. That is to write pieces in the national press every single day, like literally, like there's a statistic that I think it was the Times posted, published, because it'll be in print as well. I think it was mm-hmm. 324 articles about trans people last year, and not a single one was by a trans person. They were all negative. Fuck. That's almost one a day. Like, we are 1% of the population. Why are you talking about us so much? And I just, it blows my mind. But
man, yeah, why are you so obsessed with it, but that is really why
like things are the way they are right now, yeah. is because the public are being, is it scaremongering, fearmongering, I can never remember which one it is,
but,
yeah, like, but they're just being like made to, it's like the gay pan, like, you know, like the how gay people were treated in the 80s, where they were mm-hmm. villainized and like, oh my mm-hmm. god, these are the people you need to be angry at. It's like a culture war, and it's just it's so wrong. We've done nothing
everyone
wrong.
On the internet needs someone to hate, and that's
you're the target.
The internet is a very, very scary place, yeah. and I guess that's what makes dating also kind of tricky, because online dating is the way, like, everyone dates now. Mm-hmm. How has your, like, experience been with dating on, like, online apps and stuff?
Well, do you know what? Like I said, there's not been much dating, if I'm just being honest. Like, it's really hard as a trans girl to get across the border from, like, a few dates to, like, I've not been in a relationship for, like, 10 years, just being real. Like, mm-hmm. and that's just not being big-headed, but I am a nice person. I'm not horrible to look at. I'm not saying I'm that beautiful. I'm funny. I will say beautiful. That I'm not a bad catch, but yeah, I've been, and I've just, it's so hard to, because like I said, guys just don't want to have to go home and be like, hi mom, by the way, I'm dating a trans girl, like, because mm-hmm. they're worried about what it's gonna reflect on them, because of yeah. even if they're comfortable in their cells, they know that not everyone else mm-hmm. is comfortable with them.
Yeah.
And yeah, the fact that everything that's going on in the media right now is going to make them feel even more nervous to be proud to date a trans girl. Like, it's really, really hard. So, like, yeah, I've dated loads, and I date, but I've not been in love or a relationship, because it's just really hard. But I will say as well, like, it's going back to the transphobia as well, like it's like that I've been on dates where, like, it's so it can be really dangerous as a trans girl, and this is what it's like in America, but like 10 times worse, because obviously the amount of murders. But like thank god we don't have guns here, because if the guy had a gun that night, I could have been mm-hmm. dead. Like, basically, I'm very proud of being trans. I'm one of the most well-known, not being big-headed, I'm one of the most well-known trans people in the country. Like, it's no secret that I'm trans. So like, I thought it was so stupid, first of all, this story, but basically it's like the first word in my profile, I'm pretty sure, is like something like I'm trans, I'm blah blah blah, like it's very clear I'm trans. And then mm-hmm. I was talking to this guy for a while, we met up after a while, maybe like a few weeks later. We'd been talking a while. He'd even see my Instagram and stuff. Even the day we met, he asked where I'd come from, and I said I gave a talk about my book to my trans sisters. So like, there was, even if I hadn't put it in my profile, which I had and I have screenshots of, he had definitely got the word trans was definitely said a few times that day.
He got the memo.
But he didn't get the memo. And like, literally, like, we met at the tube station, we're gonna go for a drink, and then like maybe like 10 minutes into the walk, he started like walking away from me. Like, he started crossing in the road, and I thought he didn't realize that I wasn't behind him, so I ran up after him and was like, oh babe, well, I didn't see you cross the road. And he starts like literally being like turned around, and in front of the whole of Liverpool Street Station, like a really busy station, he was like, you didn't tell me you're a bloke. And I'm like, first of all, I'm really hurt by that, because I did not see that coming, because of how like open I've been, but also because I'm like, first of all, because I'm not a bloke. Even if I was like not trans, I would never be described as a bloke. But also mm-hmm. I was like, how dare you try and paint this that I've deceived you, or like I'm trying to trick you into having sex with me or dating me or something. Bitch, please, like, no, like, how dare you, like, it's the first word on my profile. So I just went crazy. And like, but the thing that I'm just like I was saying about it being dangerous is, had we not have gone for a drink, he lived really close to the station. We could have gone back to his house. I could have been locked in his mm-hmm. house with him in a confined space. We yeah. could have even started getting naked. Imagine we were both drunk or something, you know, mm-hmm. it could have been so dangerous. And that's the reality for as like a trans girl dating is, it's just so, it's dangerous as well as yeah. kind of hard. It can actually be very dangerous. And a lot of guys are like, the guys in America anyway, who do kill trans women, it's because they like trans women. It's because they've slept with them, or they've approached them and tried to hit on them, and then they realize they're trans, or the ones who have slept with them obviously would have known they're trans before, but they're, mm-hmm. they're wrapped up in so much shame and yeah. embarrassment that they'll kill them. They will literally kill them. So it can be very scary dating as a trans girl.
It's so unfair. It's something that like most people don't have to think twice about, with safety or just with meeting new people, and you've had to deal with so much already, and it's fucked up, and it's yeah. not fair. It's just, sorry, babe.
But let's
horrible.
Talk about some. I feel like I'm just bringing down the whole episode. Let's talk about.
No,
let's
these
talk about Marcus Rashford again.
Hi. Mm.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
We did put out a call on our social media to ask the audience the questions, so we can get you some of those. That was not real English, but all right. Cool.
We can get you some of those.
Got some.
Oh yeah, actually, I'll read out the first one, mm-hmm. which is, how did you become so confident in your body, and are there certain actions or daily practices that you do?
Oh, that's a really good question. Do you know what? I realized when I transitioned that I didn't want to be, obviously, the gender I was, but more than that, I didn't want to be the person I was in terms of like my, mm-hmm. not my whole personality, like I'm pretty much the same person, but in terms of like how unconfident I was such like a shy, like very sensitive, shy, unconfident, like kind of wallflower. And I was like, I realized it wasn't getting me anywhere in my life. Like, you don't get a gold star for being like sweet and like, oh, I'm so insecure. Like, no one's gonna be like, oh, mm-hmm. you're really sweet and insecure. Like, no, you're just gonna like, I was wasting my life because of my unconfidence and my insecurities. And I was like, when I transitioned, I was like, no, this isn't going to be my narrative anymore. Like, it was a fake it till you yeah. make it thing, but now that I faked it for 8 years, it's me. Like, I couldn't go back to being not me. Like, you know, when you fake something for so long, it actually does become mm-hmm. like, well, it's the
not,
real
I mean, and we say fake it till you make it, but it's not, it's basically like relearning your behaviors, relearning how yeah. you think, mm. and it is like, it is training yourself, yeah. your mind, your body, your soul yeah. into being the person you want to be. It's like, you can change your laugh, you can change your walk, and you can change yourself to be more confident.
Yeah.
And it's not faking it, because that confidence has to come from somewhere. That confidence still Absolutely. Comes within you.
I guess what I'm saying is that maybe it felt like I was faking the confidence.
Yeah.
Because like, I was so naturally unconfident that it felt yeah. unnatural to me. And
but you
strange.
Can't be. That confidence is there. Like, yeah, that exactly. is confidence. It's faking it. It's like, yeah, yeah, all right, I'll be confident. And it's just, it's basically facing
it
your fear.
It takes the confidence to be, facing to fake yeah. it as well. Yeah, yeah, that's actually really clever. But I think if anyone's listening, and like, if I can go from what I was to what I am now, in terms of like the shift in my personality from being mm-hmm. literally such a victim, and this translates into the transphobia, even where like pre-transition, and like, growing up, I was very effeminate, and I went to like an all-boys school. I grew up on a council estate, which mm-hmm. is very macho, in a family of boys even, and my brothers weren't always the nicest to me. I was yeah. such a victim because of how like quiet and shy and unconfident I was. And when I transitioned, now, if I dare you to say something to me in the street, I dare you, because I have a bigger mouth than you, and I will say something back. back louder, and I'll make sure that everyone hears in the tube, and I will keep going, and I'm like, yes, a dog once they go, and I will not stop, and I will film it, I put it on my Instagram, I have it, like, I'm the total opposite. And the, what I want to employ is anyone who's listening who is tired of amazing. Just being like wasting their life being unconfident, like, if I can go from what I went from to this, you can go from it too. You can change your life.
What's your like biggest tip for like, I don't know, like an action point that someone could put into their life?
Biggest tip is, if you don't, this is what I started with, is that if you don't have the confidence within, find it in other people and like try and like emulate that, draw from their strength. So for me, like, I didn't have the strength. So I remember, like, especially when I was growing up and that shift in the victimhood came, I was like looking at people like Pete Burns. Like, I remember watching Pete Burns on Big Brother when I was probably like, I don't even know, like 10 or something, 11. And I remember just being like, oh my God, like, because they were like me, they were queer, they were like, and it was so rare to see queer representation back in like the early 2000s, in like this is like 2000 and like
like positive representation,
and I was just like, oh my God. And I remember when they were walking into house and like some people must have been booing them, and they flipped the finger at them, and that flip of the finger changed my life forever, like, because I was like, oh my God, this is everything I want to be, like, how. And then I went to my all boys school the next day, and like when people would be mean to me, I'd be like, and I'd be like shouting back at them, and I just would channel my Pete. So like, I would encourage a tip is that if you don't, if it feels foreign and if you don't have the confidence, try and like find that strength in someone else, and look at someone you admire and want to be like, and try and emulate them, and try and think of what for me it would be like, what would Pete do, and ask yourself, what would your person do?
Yeah. Beautiful.
I've always tried to like surround myself with confident friends and confident people as well, and it does rub off on you.
Oh yeah.
Because it starts feeling like, oh actually this is just how people behave. Yeah. It's okay. Whereas if you hang around with people who are really, really shy, then you're also going to be really, really shy.
Finding your family, and that doesn't have to be like, your blood family. I literally heard a mother talking outside to her child about, like, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And I was like, yeah, you can fucking choose your family.
Please tell me you said that to the child. head in and said, no, you can fucking choose your family.
Unfortunately, I was 4 flights of stairs up, and my broken foot. You can imagine me hobbling down. Wait a second. Excuse me. But yeah, you can choose the people that you surround yourself with, and anyone that's bringing you down or giving you negative energy or not fulfilling your life with goodness, you can slowly start to back away or tell them, be like, no, I need to take a step back for my mental health, and start gravitating to people that you go and see and you laugh, even if you're having a bad time. You can choose that, and that includes your family as well. Just because they're blood doesn't mean to say you have to stick with them. See ya. If they're not giving you anything, if they're actually giving you like pain and negativity, making you feel shit about yourself, you gotta whip that band-aid off. See ya.
Totally.
So we heard that you have a different persona that you like to take on Instagram that might be a little bit of an agony aunt.
I actually started like this time last year, and it comes from dating apps where like I just constantly, as you can expect, I'm always getting like shitty guys on dating apps being like, just being transphobic, like being like, oh, like I had it recently the other day. I had a guy on Hinge. So you know on Hinge, you don't match. You basically just send someone like a message in response to a photo or like a comment on their one of their answers. So bear in mind, I had never seen this man in my life. I don't know who this man is. I'd never seen him, didn't know who he was, wasn't interested, wouldn't have matched with him even if he wasn't rude, like he was not my type. And he had the cheek out of the blue to just comment on like one of my answers is that I'm trans, because I'm very open about being trans. Yeah. And he commented, something like, oh damn, I would never have guessed, and like, and it was like, I would have fucked you if you won. And it's like,
what?
Excuse your mouth, like, who the hell?
Wow.
Like, thank you so much for going out of your way to tell me, who didn't even know who you was, like, that I'm not good enough for you to put your little penis in. Like, how fucking rude. Like, this is literally how I'm treated constantly. Like, pretty much like every week there'll be an instance of that. So I post about it on my Instagram almost as like a therapy when I do, because it's a good release to just like drag them publicly, and I enjoy it. And I'll tag them if I can find their tag. And it just is a good way of letting out the anger so it doesn't eat away at me. And when therapy. I did this, like, a big one, I can't remember what he said, but it was a really big one, because I remember my followers went crazy and were trying to find out where he works, they could get him in trouble, because it was really bad, whatever he said. But I posted it, and then I was given, and then from the back of that, I started, like, basically just giving some advice, and then my followers, so many people were like, you're really good at, like, giving dating advice. And I was like, oh. So then I just, like, started, like, giving dating advice, and then I kind of created the persona of, like, Dickie Lake. You know, like, Ricky Lake from, like, the 90s. Obviously, I used to love Ricky Lake. That's proved that I am a millennial, not a Gen Z. But I used to love watching Ricky Lake when I was, like, coming home from school. And so I'll do, like dating advice and stuff, and just, like, keep it really real, and just, like, yeah, just, like, try and, yeah, just give my followers, because I think I'm one of the most confident people I know. And if I can rub some of that confidence off onto some of my followers who are less confident, and just, like, because it just shocks me some of the things that, like, people put up with, like, especially, I don't know, like...
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-mm. I'm trying to think, like, trying really hard to play devil's advocate in these situations. And I do not condone what they do whatsoever. But I used to do the same on my Instagram, where people would send me offensive material. Like, I had one the other day that was just like... Hi, you're pretty. I want to spaff all over your tits. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right, nice. Okay. And back in the day, I would screenshot it and put it on my stories. But then someone was like, why are you shaming these people for their lack of education? Which makes a hell of a lot of sense as to why, you know, like, people aren't sending. I mean, it's different when they are sending, like, actual hatred and abuse. Yeah. But for a lot of people, they're maybe trying to make a compliment, or coming out with something that is, like, what they think is acceptable, and they're not. You know, it's not acceptable, but they don't realise how hurtful and how wrong it is because of the lack of education, because of what they've learned through the media or what they've been taught out, like, with their friends, their schools. And so it's, like, what actually brings somebody to that point where they have to go out of their way to write a nasty comment or something that you might not be okay with? Like, what is their thought process? Why is that person actually sitting there thinking about what to message you, typing it out and sending it off when maybe he thinks he doesn't want to have anything to do with you, but actually he's still going through that. Normally, a normal person would just ignore it, not think about it. So what's got them to that point?
I don't really give a shit what's got them to the point, but I just know that they've messaged me abuse and they're going on my Instagram. You did not have to send me a horrible message. You went out of your way to message me. We did not match. So you are getting blasted. And I feel no type of way about that. Like, and to the people who send compliments that, oh, they're uneducated, maybe they don't know it's rude. Honey, it's 2021. They're on Instagram. They're like, there's things on, like, there's information everywhere. They have a phone in their hands. They have Google. They know. I'm not sorry, but we're not going to give men, especially, the benefit of the doubt that they don't know. Saying that I want to spaff over your tits is rude. That's rude. You know that's rude. Would you say it to your mum? Would you want someone to say it to your mum? If you wouldn't want someone to say that to your daughter or your mum, you know it's rude. So don't. Yeah. I don't need men to be getting, like, this crazy amount of fucking rope for the benefit of the doubt. No, like, I'm going to hang you with that rope on my Instagram and I'll tag you in it. Thank you.
Like, I do think, like, calling people out as well, it's like, you know, that's how they learn as well. Like, this is not okay. Look, this is going to happen if you say things like this.
Mm-mm. It's like, if you're going to go out of your way, like, you could have just moved on, but you wanted to hurt me. You messaged me to tell me that I'm not good enough for you to put your little penis in. I don't want your penis in me. That's like, it's like a slap of sexism and a slap of transphobia. I don't need. No, you are going to get. You're going to learn today. If you're uneducated, you're going to learn today. That's what I'm saying. Selected. You can have have that one for free as well. No, absolutely not.
Free education right here.
What about instead asking them where that thought process came from?
I don't need to ask them. I am a busy woman. I am a busy transsexual woman and I don't have the time. Why? I don't give a I don't care where they got it from. It's not my job to educate them. It's on the internet. They have good. These people, he was like a lawyer or something. He's not someone who lives under a rock and hasn't left the house in 10 years. He's like a rich, probably a Tory. He looked very well off. Like, he knows. No, but he's not stupid. He's been to a good university. He has a good degree. Like, he's living in the world in London. Like, I don't care to know why he is uneducated. That's his. And it's not even uneducation. I think sometimes we have to stop giving people the benefit of the doubt of saying they're uneducated and just have to say that they're just a cunt. Like, he just wanted to hurt me. He wanted to hurt my feelings. He wanted a response. So I gave him a response. Like, if he didn't want a response, he wouldn't have messaged me. So So
just having money and a good job doesn't mean you're a good person or smart.
No, I'm not.
Just
I'm not here.
Had
for,
it easy.
I'm not a primary school teacher. So you picked on the wrong trans girl today. And I think one of the reasons I post it is because the way we are treated, trans girls in the dating scene, it's just we're treated like dirt from the sense that they don't want to ask us to walk three steps ahead, and they're ashamed of us. And they don't want to. Get into a date us or even get into a relationship with us because they'd be ashamed to tell their family and friends from that side of things. So also just the way we're spoken to online, we are treated like cum bucket sluts. We are treated like, we are just treated like, literally we are just for sex. And the way guys will like put you down as well in very ways that are just like just going to grate away at the self-esteem of a trans person if they're not resilient. And I'm very resilient, so I can take it. But I worry for the girls who are at the start of their transition. Like when I was at the start of my transition at 20, when guys would be talking to me like this, like, oh, like if I wish you wasn't trans, I would fuck you. I wouldn't react the way I do now. But it comes from 8 years of being treated like that and not wanting other girls to internalize that treatment, to think that we are worth nothing. We are worth something. Yeah. And I want to encourage them to know their worth.
It's not your responsibility to educate like everyone on how they should behave.
No.
Like it's not your responsibility to like sit there really and have a talk with them. Like
it takes time and effort.
And like, you know, you've been through enough. Yeah. You don't need to sit there with every single bloke that sends a snide comment just like to
even
teach
if I
them.
Hadn't been for anything though, for the women listening who haven't even been through much, you don't owe anyone anything. You don't owe anyone even a reply. Like you don't have to. You just don't, please don't waste your time. Like, you don't waste your time. Life is short. Message the guys
who
do respect
you. You've got to process it in the way that you feel is best.
Yeah,
like, regardless of the situation.
Absolutely.
And if that means blasting them on fucking social media,
absolutely.
You fucking have it.
And they've heard it here first. So just don't send me mean messages, like, and you won't get blasted. So you've heard it here first on the Fucks Given podcast. Boys.
Exactly.
The expose.
Sometimes I actually wonder if they do it because they want the clout of being blasted. I wonder if sometimes boys actually have seen me blasting other people and will like send me, and I'm like, you've done this because you know I'm going to put you at and you want to get some attention.
It's very
probably
possible. Maybe they're into it.
Wouldn't surprise me.
That femdom. Yes. Humiliated me.
Oh my
fuck,
gosh.
Yeah. Well, back to another question for you, Charlie. Someone had a question that was a little bit more on the agony aunt.
Okay.
Kind of thing. So it is it okay to share nudes when you're online dating someone you trust?
I mean, I'm probably the wrong person to ask. You girls probably have better advice than me because I have never, and this is probably going to sound like a lie, but I've never sent a nude. I've never even taken a nude. I swear on my life. I'm so boring, but you know what it is? I always knew I was going to be a star. And I was like, I don't want my nudes coming back to haunt me. And I'm also like, I'm just like, I just knew. Yeah. Also with being trans, like if my nudes leak, the shit I would get, like those TERFs, like the women in the media would love to post pictures of me with my, you know what, on the internet. Like they would really enjoy being like, that's the Matt. Like, it's like, nope, you're not getting that from me. So absolutely, I'm the wrong person to ask. But I'd be interested to hear your guys' answer.
Well, it's completely understandable as well, like with everything that's going on. And that is a massive risk for you, especially if you're going to be a starsy. Oh. But we would highly recommend still taking nudes for yourself, even if that's like on a camera that isn't connected to the internet, that's like, or deep dive buried into a folder, because it is so good to help you feel so fucking good about your body and feel sexy.
That's true.
We would highly recommend. I feel like, you know, we all just need to fucking take nudes of ourselves every day for our own eyes, for our own selves.
Kind of like how, remember in Schitt's Creek when Moira is like so upset when she couldn't find like pictures of her naked on the internet. She's like pretending that she's shocked. And she's like, they were the best body years of my life. Like she tells her like daughter, like, make sure you take nudes when you're like living your in your best body years, because you're going to want to remember how fucking good you look. So maybe it is a sign.
Yeah, it's like right now, stop, get naked, take a photo. Wherever you're listening to this, especially if it's on the tube, a busy train, get naked, take yourself a nude and go back to your day.
You're going to get people arrested.
Send it to me. I will sell it on for a fee on OnlyFans at readsellsotherpeoplesnudes.com.
And then send it to me.
And then I'll sell them to the Daily Mail. Sorted. We've got business, babe. We're doing this.
Oh, God. But we did start the 30-day new challenge because we do really highly recommend people take a nude of themselves every single day for 30 days and to boost your own... for nudes just for you, just for yourself.
Yeah, and not just necessarily sexy nudes, just nudes of your body, of the bits that you don't normally look at, that you avoid seeing. So, like, a lot of mine was, like, you know, like, spreading my asshole open right at the mirror and getting nudes of my anus. Being like, okay, well, I don't really like you, but all right. I went far. I went in deep.
Quite literally, it sounds.
Yeah. Speculum out, you know. Open me up.
It's not even lunchtime yet. Oh my God, Reed.
It looked like lunch, to be honest.
Oh! We'd love to see it.
Oh, you only just clocked that. Blimey.
I think just answering the question as well, like, I think if you trust the person that you are dating, I think it is like a fun activity to send a nude.
Key word there is trust. But it doesn't have to be. I mean, you can send nudes to people that you've only met for a couple of sentences. And obviously, now in the UK, sending out images, sharing content that isn't yours, that you haven't given consent to share, is illegal. And you can start prosecution. You can get them prosecuted, take them to court, and fuck them up royally. So you should be able to. It's not even. It shouldn't even be a question of trust. It should be. You should be allowed to send naughty photos to someone and not fear that they're going to go anywhere else. It's not on you, and you're not a bad person for wanting to send photos. It's on them. Revenge porn is a really fucked up concept of blaming the person. It's almost like, oh, it's revenge porn because they did something wrong in the beginning. They never did anything wrong. They only ever just wanted to enjoy themselves and to post what they should rightfully be able to. If somebody is sharing your content without consent, they are fucked up and they are the one in the wrong.
I think you can do it like in a safer way as well. Like, if I was going to send a nude to someone that I like didn't know that well, but I trusted, I wouldn't put my face in it. I like would, you know, be a bit more clever about like what I was sending, rather than just putting like full frontal, like face, everything,
your lungs.
You know. And even doing the things like that expire, whether it's like Instagram or Snapchat, you know, like you can see if someone screenshotted it, and then you'll have a log of like who has kept your nudes, and like you can make
really
sure they expire.
Yeah, they do that on Field, actually, on the dating app Field. Are you on there, Charlie?
No, baby, but I've heard of it.
Highly recommend.
Is it good?
It's my favourite app. It's our favourite app. And it's just such a nicer community. It's so much nicer. I've found, anyway, as a cis white woman, I have found.
Amazing. But
you can do that on Field. You can, like, put up a timer, like Snapchat.
Clever.
If you don't want to have Snapchat, because that's long,
Yeah, who has Snapchat? I always, I'm a bit wary of people who are like our age and have Snapchat. I'm like,
oh my
why?
God, I'm like, what are you doing? Like, we're not fucking 14 no more.
Literally, I find it very weird when like boys be like, what's your Snapchat? I'm like, do I look like I have Snapchat? Like,
that's a compliment.
If you have Snapchat,
that's a compliment,
that's a
right now.
It
seems suspect, right? Because like, you can delete the messages, you can like do the timer thing. It just seems sus. It's like, well, you've definitely got a partner and you want something like discreet, something fucked. I don't like it. No, not about the Snapchat life. Too old for that shit.
But Charlie, it has been so amazing having you on, and there's so much more that I want to chat to you about, and like, I feel like we could literally talk forever. There's so many things to talk about.
I've had such a good time. You guys are such
little
fun.
Nuggets. Wait, you never got to say your pride joke.
Oh no!
There wasn't anything that came up, but
no, it's fine.
It was that how early we started this podcast in the morning, 10:30 in fucking Pride Month.
In Pride Month. Oh my
how
gosh.
How dare we?
I know, it's disgusting. It's actually just, as you said, homophobic. Transphobic, man. It's not cool.
Oh no, I've had so much fun, girls.
Well, thank you for being here.
Please,
being a delightful guest.
Yeah, please share where people can find you on social media.
Oh, amazing. Yeah, I'm at Charlie_Crags.
Amazing.
Beautiful. Charlie, do you have anything else going on that you want a promo?
I was hoping you were going to say plug.
Oh, plug, plug.
That would have been more fucks given appropriate.
Plug it in.
But yeah, apart from Instagram, you can buy my book if you want to My Trans Sisters. And also I've got my BBC documentary Transitioning Teens coming out very soon, which I'm really excited about. So yeah, that's where you can find me if you want to.
So or you exciting.
You can also find me on Bumble, Tinder, Grindr sometimes, Christian Mingle. And maybe Field, because you've just told me how good Field is. So,
oh, please, yes. It's some good show there.
I will be seeing you on Field, I'm sure, guys.
Thanks for coming on. Yes, bye. Baby.
Thank you so much for having me, girls. Bye. See you on Field.
See ya.
Sweet.
That's hot.
So this episode is coming to an end, but we actually have something quite exciting that we want to sneak in
at the end.
We're really excited about this.
We're basically asking your help to help us create an elaborate, elegant, beautiful fucking seductive. Porno. Oh, well, went in with the seductive. I keep saying like elegant. I keep thinking, yeah, elegant in the sense that it's going to be nothing like that at all.
Yeah. It's going to be the opposite of everything we just said.
Yeah. Basically, embody. Think of Florence and I and how we talk about sex. And this is how we need you. We want you to help us to make a porno.
Yeah.
A porno story.
A porno story.
And we do mean porno. Like, that kind of, like, gross, commercial, over-the-top, ridiculousness.
Like a bit 80s. Like, a bit the classic.
Classic
porn. And, you know, like, this might even eventually get made.
Yeah, because don't you know that Florence and I are ethical, educational porn directors, and we've literally directed our own porn before. So,
I don't know if any of you have heard of the game Consequences, but this is basically the way that we are going to write this porno with you. So we are going to start it off in this episode, but it is up to you to tell us what happens next.
Oh, this is good. It might not be called Consequences where you're from. It might be called something else, but it's like, it's almost like the game where you draw a head and then someone else draws a body and then someone else draws legs. It's going to be like that. And this shit is allowed to get weird.
So like we write like a paragraph, like a small paragraph, then you write a small paragraph, and we are going to choose the funniest, the best ones that you send in. So if you have your next part to our porno, please send it in to fksgiven@comecurious.co.uk, and that's C-O-M-E curious.
It's gonna be good. We will be posting it on Instagram, and of course the best suggestions via there will come out. We're
so
making this
excited.
Interactive, guys. Woo! And of course, if you're not following our Instagram, it is @comecurious. Make sure you are, because it has great content on there, as well as more shit from us, obviously.
who wouldn't want more? So shall I read out the first part, or do you want to read out
because I'm illiterate, so please.
Okay, so actually, our producer wrote this.
Thank you. Thanks, Christina. We love you, Christina. She set us up. She started. Set the ball rolling.
She's number one in the Curious Fuckers Club. So, okay.
Can you do a better job is the real question. Wait.
Okay. Florence was home alone.
Oh my God, the porno voice, yes.
It was a typical afternoon of relaxing and casually scrolling through Instagram. Suddenly, there was a knock at the door.
Florence looked through the peephole to see her landlady Reed stood there with her arms crossed. She didn't look happy. Dot, dot, dot.
What happens next?
Oh my God, I am dead. I cannot wait. What is going to happen between these like imaginary random characters? Reed and Florence, such a weird name, but right.
Yeah, really weird. I don't know why Christina came up with those from.
Right, isn't it? She's a freak and she knows it.
So yeah, what happens next is up to you. And if you want to replay what we just said, just, you know, rewind 15
just
seconds.
Just use like tech like a normal person.
And we will also write it out on Instagram when we are asking you to write the next little paragraph.
And there are no limits to this. No limits. So you
no
can go
limits.
Fucking buck wild. This is pretty much
so wild.
Most of your... So I'm like telling you what you fantasize about. Most of your fantasies is Reed and Florence in an apartment alone. Actually, I don't even know if I'm in the apartment yet. I'm assuming.
Who knows if I let you in?
Right.
I might be actually doing something completely different inside. And like, I was just...
You might just signal the doorbell.
The Instagram scrolling was just a ruse.
Yeah, you might see me and be like, oh, fuck this. No, not today, hun.
end of porno. Like, no, not she doesn't look hot. Happy. No! So good. So we cannot wait for this to blossom into something horrific and wonderful. Yeah, it's going to be
please,
good.
Please, please, please do email in your suggestions at fksgiven@comecurious.co.uk. And also, if you have any questions for the podcast or a sex story you just want us to read out, please email it in as well, because we would love to know.
And of course, as I just said, you can follow us on Instagram, but you can also follow our personal accounts, Reed Amber X and Florence Bark.
Yeah, yeah. And also, if you are not subscribed yet, of course, subscribe to this podcast, follow it, leave a rating and a review if you're on Apple Podcasts. We would love to know what you think of the podcast, so please do leave a review.
If you want to watch our beautiful faces, pretty much every episode is now going on YouTube. So if you want to check it out on the YouTube styly, watch our faces do this shit. And check out our other shit too, because we have some great videos on there. Would you believe?
But anyway, curious fuckers, we fucking love you.
We
so,
love you
so much. And thank you so much for listening to the new and improved podcast.
Yes, please send us some love online and post this podcast. Ooh. Share it if you can. Screenshot it, put it on your stories, and we will always repost if we see the mention.
I actually saw one this morning. And I reposted it on my personal one. I'm just about to repost it.
Very nice. Very nice indeed. All right, then. We're going to fuck off. And
see you next Thursday, curious fuckers.
See you next Thursday.
Bye.
Crowd Network, a place where you belong.